from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we are broadcasting today and tomorrow from the Ark Encounter, located in northern Kentucky. I'll be joined a little later by President and CEO of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. But first, the U.S. Supreme Court today rebuked the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's attack on the religious beliefs of Baker Jack Phillips when it ruled 7-2 in favor of the Colorado Baker. Phillips had declined to create a wedding cake to celebrate a same-sex ceremony because doing so would violate his religious beliefs that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Later in the show, we'll talk with one of the attorneys on the case, Jeremy Tedesco of Alliance Defending Freedom, who represented Phillips before the Supreme Court. And today marks President Trump's 500th day in office. How is the Trump administration doing? We'll talk with the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, in just a moment here on Washington Watch. And I hope to get to your phone calls a little later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. And as always, resources there for you at TonyPerkins.com. I know I was out most of last week, holiday week, and we had wrapped up our pastor's briefing. And we wanted to share some of that with you, so I hope you got a chance to catch that. We had the vice president and others. If you missed any of it, it's all archived at TonyPerkins.com. And taking in a little time with the family, we're actually here in northern Kentucky, and we wanted to visit the Ark. We've been to the Creation Museum before, but had not yet made it to the Ark, and we're here today. Fascinating. Unbelievable, and it just puts everything in perspective when you read Scripture. I'm looking forward to getting back and reading Genesis again, and it just puts a whole new dimension. It's kind of like, you know, we've talked about on the program before, being in Israel, going to the Holy Land and walking through these places, visiting Shiloh, and it makes Scripture three-dimensional. Well, I think it the same is with the Ark. When you come here and you see, number one, how massive it is, and you walk through it, and they've been, you know, I think very meticulous in following Scripture as it lays out the dimensions and the size, and obviously doesn't tell us everything, but they've gone back historically and looked at the records and things from that era of time. And it's really fascinating. It's a great educational opportunity for the kids as well, especially for those of you who homeschool. It's a great field trip. It might take you a couple of days to get here, depending where you're coming from, but it's a great field trip. So anyway, we're going to talk more about that a little bit later with Ken Ham, who is the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows, and we're going to be talking about President Trump's completion of 500 days in office and the accomplishments. It's hard to believe it's been that long, but he's amassed a pretty impressive record of conservative initiatives that he has accomplished in these first 500 days. So I think Congressman Meadows represents the 14th Congressional District, and as I said, he is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and I believe we now have him. Congressman Mark Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you, and always great to be with your listeners, and bringing you the most up-to-date on what's happening here in Washington, D.C.
Well, I want to get to that. Obviously, the 500th anniversary, 500th day of the Trump administration, a lot has been accomplished. But before I do that, I know you've been having some issues in your district and issues of flooding. I was there driving through last week. How are things back home in the district?
Well, they're better at this point. Still a lot of damage. Obviously, we had record storms and water levels, but truthfully, it could have been a lot worse. So just continue to pray for the folks back home in western North Carolina who had damage to, you know, to property, but fortunately no real loss of life.
I have to say, you represent one of the, I think, most beautiful districts. I mean, that is just gorgeous up there in the foothills and the mountains. So it's a great place, I think, for you to want to go home to and get outside of D.C.
Well, it is. I love to call it God's country, and I tell you what, it's a pretty place to be able to call home, and certainly a lot better than Washington, D.C. and the swamp weather that we have in and around the Beltway.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. 500 days in office. I'll have to say I'm quite impressed with the list of accomplishments that this administration has amassed in these first 500 days.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, it was not just a Supreme Court justice. Many people showed up in November on that one issue alone. They said, well, if this president could just get conservative Supreme Court justices on the bench, it would be worth it. But he didn't stop there. I mean, it's not only that. We've got regulations that have rolled back. We have tax cuts that have been put into place. We have really a new preeminence on the world stage in terms of foreign policy, an upcoming summit with North Korea. When you look at all that he's done, it is remarkable, but it's not just there. He's been strong on life issues and pro-family issues to the point where I think it surprised a lot of people, and to get as much done in the first 500 days, I think it's truly historic, the accomplishments that we've been able to see on this on behalf of this administration.
But Congress Meadows, a lot of these milestones that have been reached, as you mentioned, foreign policy, when we see a North Korea coming to the table where we may resolve something that really threatens the entire world, certainly that region, the media is not talking about that. Is the media really giving this president a fair shake on what he's accomplished?
Well, they're not giving him a fair shake. I think the other thing is that we see is when he saw North Korea and he wasn't meeting with them, they said, oh, he's going to get us into a nuclear war and it's going to be terrible. And then when he set up the meeting, oh, he's going to give in too early. Then when it was canceled, well, he should have kept it on. Now that it's back on, he should have gone about it in a different way. It's the narrative of the day, and the truth of it is this president takes unconventional ways to get extraordinary things done, and hopefully they'll be able to history will be the final arbiter of what this president has accomplished, and I think it'll be kind to him.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Congressman Mark Meadows. He is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. He represents the 11th Congressional District of the state of North Carolina. Let's talk about immigration. That's an issue that really remains at the forefront. It's one that Congress has not been able to successfully solve in really two decades. Are we close? Is this president going to be able to hammer out a deal that can make its way through Congress?
Well, we are close, Tony. I can tell you that this president has had frustrating moments with Congress where he set forth a four-pillar deal on immigration that would deal with DACA recipients and yet secure our southern border. And what he found is that even that was not okay with the Senate. But he reengaged, and I can tell you that within the last week or so, and certainly within the last 72 hours, it's coming down to just a few critical issues. And I think at the end of the day, he will weigh in. Not only will we get a secure southern border, but we'll be able to handle immigration perhaps the first time in like you said, decades. It'll actually be done in a way that supports the rule of law and doesn't allow us to look the other way when it comes to immigration and the security that we have. I think that the most interesting thing that I see, Tony, is that this president, when he gets a no, he'll just come back and say, well, no's not good enough. Let's reengage. I know he's challenged me and others to do that. And by this Thursday, I think you'll see at least some agreement within the House on what will move forward. And hopefully that'll get done in the Senate as well and signed into law before the end of July, when a lot of people expect us to return home for our August work period.
Mark, you mentioned Thursday. There's a, as I understand, a two-hour immigration meeting that the GOP leaders have set to try and break this impasse. What do you anticipate is going to come out of that meeting on Thursday?
Well, I'm hopeful that really that will be the finishing touches, because if we wait until Thursday, the two-hour meeting, to try to get a final resolution, I think it'll be left with less than a desirable result. But that being said, I do believe that we'll be able to take maybe those final two or three issues that are out there. The biggest one is with regards to citizenship and what happens with DACA recipients, and then the internal enforcement components. How are we going to make sure that once we deal with this, this is the last time we have to deal with illegal immigration? But I think we're getting very close. And so on that Thursday meeting, and you're right, you know, Steve Scalise has been on the phone. Kevin McCarthy has been on the phone. I spoke to the speaker earlier today, trying to get some kind of a path forward for all different factions within Congress. And I think what you'll see on that Thursday is that you come out with some kind of an agreement where you have 218 votes that will put the most conservative bill on the floor, and be one that actually is not just a messaging bill. It'll be something that hopefully can be signed into law.
Is it something that is going to meet with the promises made by this president back on the campaign trail?
Well, it will. I can tell you that the one thing that this president continues to remind members of Congress, and it normally is members of Congress that have to remind presidents, but this president goes the other way to remind me and others, listen, this is what I promised the American people we would do. And he's committed to fulfilling those campaign promises. To him, it's really more a covenant that he made with the people that voted him into office back in November of 2016. And so he's not going to yield on that. Now, are there some details and perhaps some ways that he can make it work? Yes, and he's shown flexibility in that. But I think at the end of the day, it'll commit to his campaign promises.
Well, and he's been one to keep promises when it comes to his campaign. Congressman Mark Meadows, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tony. God bless.
All right. Congressman Mark Meadows, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. All right. As I mentioned earlier, we're broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky. And coming up next, we'll talk with the man who God laid on his heart to build a life-size ark, as described in the Bible. Founder and president of the Ark Encounter, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, is with me when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch after this.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. to watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky. The attraction is a full-size Noah's Ark, built according to the dimensions given in the Bible. This is not a kid's puzzle. This is the real thing. I mean, real size, spanning 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. Is that right, Ken?
That is right. It's also built 15 feet off the ground, so 7 stories high at the top of the Ark and 10 stories high at the top of the bow. And I guess this is probably the first time you've ever broadcast from Noah's Ark.
It is. I've been with a lot of animals, but this is the first time I've been in the Ark broadcasting. Ken Ham, our guest speaker, author, president, CEO of Founders, and the founder of Answers in Genesis, and has the highly acclaimed Creation Museum, which we visited a number of years ago, and now the Ark Encounter. And Ken, I just have to start with the question. I mean, you had 1 million people come to this last year from all over. What was it that prompted you to take on such a massive project?
Well, you know, when I first became a teacher in 1975 in a country town in Australia, the student said to me, "Sir, you're a science teacher, but you believe the Bible." I said, "That's right." "Well, how can you be a Christian when we know the Bible's not true?" "And why is that?" "Because of what's taught in our textbooks about creation and evolution and millions of years, ape men, and so on." And then they said, and how can you believe in Noah's Ark when Noah couldn't fit all the animals on board?" And, you know, as I took students from my classes at school to various museums, always from an evolutionist perspective, and the Lord gave me a real burden to build a creation museum. But even while we were building the creation museum that opened in 2007, what really hit me was, hey, more and more as we travel around, people are saying, you know, how can the Bible be true? Noah's Ark couldn't happen. We've heard that over and over and over again. How could Noah fit the animals on the Ark? People ask lots of other questions too. You know, for instance, where's the evidence for the flood? And well, wait a minute, didn't we all come from ape men and the Big Bang and millions of years? And so our ministry is an apologetics ministry to answer questions. We realize those questions are really their stumbling blocks to even believing the Bible. And so while we were building the Ark, before we'd even built the Creation Museum, 2 years before we even built the Ark, we sat down as a ministry and said, what should we do next to try to impact the culture? I mean, one of the things we're doing through these, it's very unique. It's a unique way of reaching people with the message of God's word and the gospel, to use themed attractions, the quality of Disney, or I think they're above the quality of Disney, to impact the world, to get non-Christians here, to bring the world to us, people that wouldn't go to church. You couldn't get them in a church with a stick of dynamite. How do you get in a place like this? And, well, we want to give them answers to tell them that the Bible's true. But then you think about it. Noah's Ark is known all over the world. Whenever there's an announcement about Noah's Ark supposedly being found on Mount Ararat or something, you know, it gets world headlines. There are bathtub arks with drafts sticking out the chimney and kids' books and gift stores all over the world. And that always bugged me because that's not what Noah's Ark looked like. Imagine if we built a full-size ark. I mean, actually, to replicate it in a sense, according to the dimensions in the Bible, and then answer these questions people have. And so we decided in 2004 that's what we would do. And so we built a life-size ark, and people walk through the whole thing and get all these questions answered. That come from all over the world.
And they, and we were talking earlier about 30% of those who come here, they're not believers. Right. They're attracted to the ark, which, as you said, it's in every kid's book. It's in gift stores. It's something that everybody has probably seen. It's one story people have heard. But they come here and they see, well, this makes sense. It could. It looks like this could have happened.
Well, you know, I was with one of the leaders of the community in northern Kentucky here who was not a Christian and brought him to the ark. And he wanted to come see it. And so as we walked up to this massive wooden structure, I mean, it's the biggest timber frame structure in the world, 3.3 million board feet of timber. And as we walked up to it, he stood there and he looked at it and he said, wow, I never knew Noah's Ark was so big. And then he said to me, he's a non-Christian, then he said to me, you know, maybe Noah could have fitted those animals on board. In other words, he got it. And when kids are here, because they're so used to seeing those bathtub arks with drafts sticking out the chimney, you know, overloaded with animals about to sink at any moment that are on kindergarten walls in churches that I always want to paint over with graffiti or something. When kids come here, they say to their parents and they say to me, you know, it shows us Noah could fit the animals on board. It's really big. We didn't know Noah's Ark was so big. And it tells something to them. The Bible's true.
Right. It's fascinating. We walk through here, stuff that, you know, never contemplated how you water the animals and the elaborate system of feeding and watering the animals that existed.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I often come down here and I meet a lot of people down here. And a number of times I've come down here, I've seen teenagers in groups because there are church groups that come, Christian school groups that come, just secular groups that come. But I've often met these young people, these teenagers, and I've said to them, so which exhibit did you like the best? And would you believe one of the ones that they often say is how he fed the animals and got rid of their waste.
Yeah.
Because, see, those things become a stumbling block to them, you know?
Well, it's very practical, but it shows when you look at this that this stuff was thought out.
Right.
And you know, God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order and structure. You're listening to Washington Watch. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting from northern Kentucky at the Ark Encounter. How do people find out more about how they can come here and see the Ark and go to the Creation Museum?
Well, arkencounter.com is an easy website to remember, arkencounter.com, and they can find out about the Creation Museum there as well. There are two Christian-themed attractions, the two leading Christian attractions in the world, arkencounter.com.
And you have the largest restaurant.
One of the largest restaurants in America, 1,500-seat restaurant called Mzara's Kitchen, and it's a massive buffet, and it gets crowded every day.
Well, let me just say, Noah's wife was a great cook.
That's fantastic food, isn't it?
It was great
food.
They
prepare it fresh here.
And you also have coming up...
By the way, it's post-flood food, because Genesis 9:3, God said we could eat everything.
Yes, and there was all there. It was all there on the buffet. And I was just making sure there wasn't any of the animals from the Ark, though. I was looking for that giraffe sausage, but I couldn't find it.
No giraffe sausage, no. But the things, you know, definitely some, maybe some pig sausage.
Okay. You're going to join us again tomorrow, and we're going to talk more. You've got a 2,500-seat auditorium that's being built near the Ark that's going to be kind of a convention. So you got a lot of stuff going on here. But also contending for the first freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow when you join us. Ken Ham, thanks for hosting us here at the Ark and Pillar.
Hey, our pleasure.
All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Jeremy Tedesco with Alliance Defending Freedom, and we're going to look at today's Supreme Court decision regarding Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop. Don't go away. Back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. As I mentioned, we are broadcasting live today and we'll be here tomorrow. The Ark Encounter, just 45 minutes down the road, is the Creation Museum. You can actually see both. The Creation Museum opened in 2007. And this is it's a great place to take the family. But to see the Ark, as we were talking about just a few moments ago with Ken Ham, the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis, just to see it, again, it makes the scripture come alive, three-dimensional. It's really fascinating. Anyway, you can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Certainly worth the time and the trip to make a family trip here to see the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. All right. Today, the Supreme Court granted a victory to people of faith, in particular to Jack Phillips. In a 7-2 decision, they said that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission essentially violated the rights of Jack Phillips, the owner of the bakery there in Colorado, basically showing hostility to him for expressing opposition to same-sex marriage based upon his faith. In fact, one of the commissioners said that Phillips' Christian beliefs on marriage were despicable. This was a commissioner. Now, Phillips, owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, it was a narrow ruling, but a ruling favorable toward Jack Phillips and religious freedom nonetheless. With us now is Jeremy Tedesco. He is with Alliance Defending Freedom, senior legal counsel with him, and they represented Jack Phillips before the Supreme Court. Jeremy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, 7-2 decision. Obviously, Jack Phillips is very, very elated to have such a decision. But it was a pretty narrow opinion by the court.
Well, you know, that's definitely the opposition's talking point. And, yeah, this ruling vindicated Jack. The court certainly reserved other issues in the same context, brewing over the same issues, for another day. But, you know, I think the most important thing is that the government, the Supreme Court reaffirmed the principle that the government should not be punishing people or targeting people of faith. That's it has no place in our society for the government to do those things. And, you know, here we had a Colorado Civil Rights Commissioner, one of the people that sat in judgment of Jack's religious freedom claims, saying that she found religious freedom to be a despicable piece of rhetoric. You know, and that plus other aspects of hostility and targeting of Jack's faith ultimately led the court to the right decision, which was that Jack Phillips should prevail. And it's a great day for Jack Phillips' religious freedom.
Well, as you pointed out, the Supreme Court did, I think, I would say, call the commission onto the carpet with their open hostility toward religious freedom. I think my personal view of this is that that was, you know, in the era of Obama, where it was, you know, it was fashionable to attack Christian views. And I think the court got, the commission rather, got caught up in that. And I do think when the court here in this decision, going back to the Constitution, where you have a stated, enumerated freedom of religion, freedom of speech, that they have reaffirmed that in this decision. So from that standpoint, it is a very, very positive decision. And you can see the other side is very concerned about that, because once again, it is going back and solidifying that First Amendment freedom.
Well, yeah, but you have to understand, too, that the ruling, you know, it was based more than on just the hostility towards Jack. You know, that open hostility you saw from the commissioner. It was also based on the fact that that Colorado was unequally applying its law. So those bakers who favored same-sex marriage weren't forced under the law to create cakes with messages opposing same-sex marriage. But the state was requiring Jack, who opposed same-sex marriage, to create cakes celebrating same-sex marriage. That kind of uneven enforcement and application of the law is also an aspect of, you know, lacking religious neutrality, what the court was talking about, that kind of targeting of religion. And the state's going to have a really hard time avoiding that. Any state's going to have a hard time avoiding that, because they're not going to want to punish the people who have views that the state favors. And so, you know, that's why the First Amendment exists, to make sure that, that those kind of free speech favorites are not allowed by the government. And so, you know, I think the ruling is very encouraging. I think people of faith, regardless of their faith background, who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, were rightly asking the question, is there space for us in this society anymore? And this decision sends more than just a message to Jack Phillips. It sends a message to all of us, all people of faith, that we do belong in this society, that the respect and tolerance the First Amendment demands applies to us as well. And I think we can all be encouraged by that.
Jeremy, we're up against a break. Can you stick around 2 minutes so we can come back? I've got a couple of more questions I'd like to ask you about this case, where it's going, what in terms of this decision, how it might impact other cases that are out there. Can you stick around?
I can stick around.
Great. Jeremy Tedesco with Alliance Defending Freedom is going to be stickering. I hope you will as well. We're going to continue our look at the Supreme Court's decision, 7-2 decision, in the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake decision handed down today. Also, we're going to be taking your phone calls in the next segment, so don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. We're back in just a moment.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
To Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins, as we mentioned, we are broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky. It's a part of the Answers in Genesis Ministry, the Creation Museum that's been around since 2007. Great destination for the family. Anyway, we're going to be here today. Tomorrow, we're going to have Ken Ham back with us tomorrow to talk more about the ministry here and the attack on the First Amendment. And of course, that's related to this case today, the decision handed down today, and the Masterpiece Cake case with Jack Phillips. And joining me is Jeremy Tedesco, senior legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, who represents Jack Phillips. All right, Jeremy, thanks for sticking around. All right, the application of this, how is this going to impact other cases that are out there as it pertains to wedding vendors?
Sure, that's a really important question. You know, first and foremost, for Baron L. Sussman, the florist in Washington, whose case is right now pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. We should probably hear within the next couple of weeks how the Supreme Court will handle her case forward. You know, they could grant review in her case and reach the issues they didn't reach in Jack Phillips' case. They could deny cert and just deny the case. I don't think that's likely. Another possibility is they will send it back down to the Washington State.
Well, I think we may, there
to
is.
Assess the decision in the basis of Masterpiece. And so, you know, we're going to see how that plays out. But there's five or six other cases in the lower courts moving up to the Supreme Court where this case will also have an impact. It doesn't reach those cases specifically because the court reserved a lot of the issues that are involved in those cases for a later day. But what it does is create an opportunity for us to go up and have the court reach the bigger issue, the broader issue about creative expression and whether the government can compel artists to create speech they don't want to create.
But clearly in this case, if I'm reading it right, they did reaffirm the First Amendment freedom of religion.
Absolutely. It's a free exercise decision. So, you know, it's been a long time since the Supreme Court issued a ruling finding a violation of the free exercise clause. So this is an important decision. It breathes more life into the free exercise clause and again, reaffirms that the government can't bully and harass people and push them out of the marketplace simply because they want to live consistently with their religious beliefs about marriage. You know, that's one of the things that's so important about living in America is it's a pluralistic society. We have to be able to respect our differences, have tolerance for our other beliefs. And, you know, punishing Jack Phillips and pushing him out of the marketplace is no way to achieve that kind of tolerance.
And also, this was a 7-2 decision. This was not a 5-4 decision. This was a 7-2 decision, which it makes a statement in and of itself of where the court came down on this.
Right. 7-2 decision. It garners 7 votes. Two of justices are considered more liberal joined the majority opinion. And so, you know, I think that the court was really troubled by the manner in which Jack had been treated and what they perceived to be religious targeting. And, you know, I'm very glad that 7 of the justices were bothered by that treatment to the extent that they are willing to, reverse the decision against Jack. And you know, this creates freedom for Jack. It creates space for him in society to live a life that's consistent with his religious beliefs and to just be an authentic Christian. And that's all he wants. Jack is such a good man. He's such a decent man. These are honorable convictions that he carries with him in every interaction in life. It's just this one piece of his faith that is right now countercultural. And one of the things that makes America great is it's big enough to fit people in it that might have dissident views, might have views that aren't necessarily, within the realm of the majority. And if that happens to be the belief that man and women should be the only participants in the marriage institution, then so be it. The First Amendment provides Jack Phillips and people like him protection and freedom, and they belong in the society as much as anyone else.
So, Jeremy, in your opinion, does this then put these civil rights commissions, they go by different names in different places, but they've been used to really target Christians, especially in these cases of marriage. Does this put them on notice that it's not open season any longer on Christians and religious freedom?
Well, I think it certainly does. And look, I've been talking to people, Christians in the wedding profession for a long time, about these situations and why it's important for them to do everything they can to avoid being brought in before one of these commissions. Because what happened to Jack in this commission, the religious hostility that the commission showed, is not any kind of new or unique story. We see it again and again from these commissions. For whatever reason, they seem to exist to find discrimination, as a matter of course. And it's almost like the verdict is in before you even get a hearing. And so that's what Jack experienced. Other folks in these same kind of commissions have experienced the same kind of hostility, open hostility. So even if the commissions are on notice and they kind of maybe try to bury it a little bit or, shroud it, I think, in the end, they're still going to be motivated by that religious hostility. And it's just a matter of rooting it out. But again, you don't have to have the kind of open hostility that existed in Colorado to have a lack of neutrality, to have targeting of religion. There's targeting of religion comes in a lot of different forms and flavors.
This
happened to be an egregious example of it.
Well, and I didn't even mention the fact that the commission ordered Jack and his employees to basically undergo re-education, indoctrination on these issues. Was that brought up before the court? Was that issue discussed?
Yes, it was in our briefing. I think we even mentioned it in an argument. Yeah, and that was one of the more troubling aspects of the ruling. Is not only did they have to go through re-education, but which would have been bad enough if it would have been showing up at government offices to be educated. But they actually told Jack Phillips he had to provide that education. And so Jack was being told by the government that he had to re-educate his own family members. One of them was his mom, who had taught him his religious beliefs. You know, he had to teach her that her religious beliefs were illegal discrimination in Colorado. And he couldn't run his business any longer consistent with them. So there were a lot of really egregious aspects of what Colorado did. And that's why I'm saying, you know, the hostility towards religion, the targeting of religion, that lack of neutrality the court was concerned about happens a lot of different ways. And so, you know, you're going to hear the other side say, well, this is incredibly narrow, and it's just when there's this open hostility. But that's not true. This was a case about, you know, the government targeting people of faith. And like I said, that's in lots of different forms, lots of different flavors. And it's important it's an important reaffirmation of the principle that people who have these kind of faiths have to be able to live by them openly in our society and be respected and tolerated.
Absolutely. One final question for you, Jeremy Tedesco, and thank you so much for joining us today here on Washington Watch. What's next for Jack Phillips? What happens next?
Well, you know, we're going to go through an exciting round of media interviews and other opportunities to talk about his case and just educate you people about what it means. And then we're going to evaluate what the next step is for Jack. You know, he's going to need to get back into the wedding industry. He's lost 40% of his business because the state forced him to choose between creating cakes that violated his conscience and creating, you know, no cakes at all. And he just couldn't create any if he had to create ones that violated his conscience. And so he's going to get back into the wedding industry and, you know, hopefully breathe life back into Masterpiece Cake Shop. And I hope ultimately, you know, there's this financial toll, but there's also this huge emotional and spiritual toll that has been, you know, his family has suffered. You know, there were days his wife wouldn't go to work. She was so afraid of the threats and things targeted at their business and the hateful and vile phone calls. I mean, hopefully those things start to go away now and they can return to some kind of normalcy in their life.
Well, we appreciate the work that Alliance Defending Freedom did in representing Jack. Of course, Jack, courageous in seeing this thing all the way through. He could have walked away from it. But he didn't. He understood the underlying important constitutional principle and, of course, ADF standing at his side. So, Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Jeremy Tedesco with ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. We're going to take your phone calls now. I've got a few minutes left. And if you want to weigh in on this issue, your thoughts on today's Supreme Court decision and the Masterpiece Cake decision, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Are you encouraged by the court reaffirming religious freedom and the exercise of that religious freedom? It's, you know, it goes back to the previous administration where they used the rhetoric, the freedom of worship. They supported the freedom of worship. Well, in their minds, the freedom of worship is what you do within the four walls of a church. That's not the historic view of the freedom of worship in this country, and certainly not in Scripture, where Scripture, you know, Paul was very clear about whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all unto the glory of God. And the founders of this country understood that our work, of course, this is a part of the Protestant work ethic, that our work was an extension of our worship, what we did. And so the idea that you had religious freedom, doing everything, you know, teaching your children, engaging in your work activities, all guided by your faith, a very critical, essential freedom. And so from that standpoint, I am very encouraged by the court, once again, in a major decision upholding the free exercise of religion clause. Even though it's, you know, come under tremendous attack in the last decade, led by the previous administration. But you know, the LGBT community seeing religious freedom as a barrier to their redefinition of human sexuality and gender and everything else. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Patty in Richmond, Virginia. Patty, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just wanted to know, I know that the baker won his case today. Will he get any compensation? I believe he lost his business.
Well, he did not lose the bakery. He essentially stopped doing wedding cakes. He did other types of cakes, but because he was going to be forced to do same-sex wedding cakes, and what happens is there's targeting, and that's why this comes about. These LGBTQ couples choose to go after these Christian bakers to make quote-unquote examples out of them. So these bakers quit doing the wedding cakes, or what I think is actually more effective, and we've seen done in a couple of cases, that these vendors say, okay, I'll do them, but let me just let you know that all profits are going to go to organizations that uphold natural marriage. And that kind of that stymies business from that crowd a little bit. But no, there's no reimbursement for him. It's a matter of rebuilding. And that's why I say that Jack Phillips was courageous in doing this, is that he was doing this not just for himself, but he was doing this for all Americans, and even those Americans who are not religious and do not value the First Amendment. He was defending it by essentially putting his livelihood on the line. So, unfortunately, Patty, it's a matter of for him of rebuilding. But he was very confident in trusting the Lord that he'll be able to put all those pieces back together, and the Lord will bless. And I've seen that many, many times over. Patty, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. Masterpiece Cake case coming down today, 7-2 decision by the United States Supreme Court. Jack Phillips, the owner of that, being vindicated. In fact, the commission, the Civil Rights Commission there in Colorado, their open hostility toward his faith, calling it despicable, essentially rebuked by the court. Let's go to Houston, Texas, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you, Tony, so much for everything you do.
Well, thank you, John. Appreciate that.
I wanted to make one point because every time we have a victory like this, it feels less and less like a victory because we had to struggle so much to get to this point. And I know God's in this, but my point is I watched on the Morning Joe one time a video where they had brought a panel together and they went through the four aspects of the history of homosexuality in our country, and they said we've overcome the educational and the legal and the social. Our last hurdle is to make this not a sin. And I kept thinking, okay, how are you going to do that? Because sin is sin, and we're not going to back off on this. And what I didn't realize at the time is they're going to attack us, and that's exactly what they've done and will continue to do. Tony, they're not going to stop. It's going to be a battle until Jesus comes. And we have to stay strong for this very reason, because they're trying to redefine what sin is, and we cannot back off on what sin is.
John, we got to leave it there. We got to leave it there, John. We're out of time, but you are absolutely right. And a reminder of that is I'm here in the Ark Encounter. Nothing new under the sun. We must stand for the truth, speaking the truth of God with the love of God, with the hope that others will come to know that love. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.